Well, do keep that passage open, Job 28. If you've shut your Bibles, it's page 485. And shall we pray as we come and look at this passage today, Job 28. Father, we do want to hear your voice. We want to learn to trust you in all circumstances. Grow us in faith, we pray. And will we hear your truth and your wisdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I am my father's son. He is an emotional Welshman. And he is easily moved, as am I. So yesterday, the sound of the Welsh National Anthem got me moved and emotional, as did the result. Well done, England. Is that convincing and compelling? I don't really mind, actually. I'm quite laid back about it, a little bit. But there's crying and crying, isn't there? We get moved by things, easily moved by things. But then there's real tears and real sorrow and real sobbing. I'll never forget the time when I first heard my father crying. I think it's the only time I've ever heard him cry, actually. When you're growing up, your dad just doesn't cry. Your dads don't cry. I was in my bedroom and he was on the phone, and suddenly this deep wail and sorrow overcame him as he heard news of his sister's critical condition. She'd brought him up. I was very close to her daughter, my cousin. And in my seven-year-old head, I just couldn't bear the thought of my dad grieving so deeply and also my aunt being so critically ill. And I remember thinking at the age of seven, why her? Why is she so ill? Why not somebody else? Why not somebody who's horrid? Why are not they ill? And I had lots of questions in my head. Even I was thinking, well, look, surely there's people at the end of their lives who want to die because they're so ill. But my auntie is critically ill. And it was really, really tough and just blew my mind to see my dad deeply grieving. Amazingly, my aunt pulled through it by God's grace. It was miraculous, really. And the doctors were able to describe what had happened to her medically. They were able to explain why she'd got better. People are good at that. Medics are good at that. God has made us with the ability to investigate so we can explore and explain and understand how things happen. But the problem we have as humans is this: answering the why question. Why? That is the tussle of this book, isn't it? The book of Job, the characters in the book of Job. We've had over 20 chapters of Job's friends explaining why. And Job saying they've got it wrong. They don't understand it. Their why is not correct. And we know that he doesn't know what's going on in heaven, chapters 1 and 2. But as we get to chapter 28, it's a chapter about gaining wisdom in the context of the book of Job. Wisdom in the context of suffering. It's about wanting to know why, to understand why, to get some wisdom in the midst of sorrow, grief, and pain. And we know that for many in ours, it's been a tough few months as a church family, isn't it, in lots of ways. Losing Lawrence and then Mike Ovey, now son Alexander is seriously ill. It's been a tough time for us as a church family and people in our church family. And actually, for Christians throughout history and throughout the world, this question of why is a big question in the midst of sorrow and grief and pain. That's the question there in chapter 28, verse 12. But where shall wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? This is being asked in the context of suffering. Again, we see it in verse 20 of chapter 28. So we don't miss that's the question. Where then does wisdom come from? And where is the place of understanding? Where is the answer to the why? Why me? Why them? Why us? Why not them over there? There's so much in life that we can explain. But let's be honest, we are stumped when it comes to the big why of suffering. So there is Sally. She's intrigued by the Christian faith. But she won't take that next step of committing her life to Christ. So she bargains with God and with her Christian friends. She says, if you can answer all my questions, then I will believe. And then I will trust. But until then, I'm not going to take a step forward in my faith. I'm not budging. Well, there is Grant. He's a Christian. He's been a Christian for years. And he says to God, Lord, I'll keep being a Christian as long as I can understand everything. That's the deal he wants to break with God. And he strikes with God in his head. Well, what does God's word have to say to those situations this morning? Maybe we find ourselves in the same or the similar place. God says to Sally and to Grant, no deal. No deal. Because we're not promised the wisdom on the why question in this life when it comes to suffering. You see, chapter 28 is a chapter that is there to humble us, as we honestly have to say. We don't understand. We don't understand. But Lord, you do, and to know you is enough. We don't understand, but you do, and to know you is enough. This chapter is a hands-up-to-reality chapter for us if we have faith today. It's humbling. First thing we need to recognize is that we don't understand. And that's verses 1 to 22, a massive chunk that's split into two halves. There's a wonderful contrast that's set up here. Verses 1 to 11 describes the brilliance of humanity in our practical, God-given brilliance in the search for what's precious. It charts for us the high-tech engineering of the day. This was cutting edge in those days. We've moved on, obviously. But this is cutting edge in the day when this is written. When the search for precious stones and precious metals involved amazing feats of engineering. So 28 verse 1 says, surely there is a mine for silver and a place for gold to be refined. Well, how do humans find these precious metals? What does the search involve? Well, verse 3, mining. Miners put an end to darkness and search out to the farthest bound, the ore in gloom and deep darkness. They open shafts in a valley away from human habitation. They are forgotten by travelers. I love this bit. They sway suspended. They met them on ropes trying to dig and to knock out bits of stone and to look for precious stones, remote from people. You see, humanity can use amazing feats of engineering in their search for what's precious and hidden in the earth. Humanity, created in the image of God, can search for what's precious and hard to find. But we are limited in what we can do when it comes to the search for wisdom and understanding of the why of suffering. The search for that precious commodity of understanding that we ask in suffering is so hard to find. Verse 12, but where shall wisdom be found? And where is understanding? Mortals do not know the way to it. And it is not found in the land of the living. You see, it's not like mining for gold, is it? Or coal, or oil. You can't get your digger out and explosives and drill for it. No, verse 14 says, when it comes to wisdom, the deep says, it's not in me. You're not going to find it here. And the seas say, it's not with me either. Wisdom and understanding is precious, but you can't even buy it with the most precious things we have. Verse 15, it cannot be bought for gold, and silver cannot be weighed out at its price. So where can we find the wisdom we need in suffering? Where can we buy it? Where can we dig for it? Verse 21, it is hidden from the eyes of all living. That's so frustrating, isn't it? We can mine for silver and precious stones. We can put a man on the moon. We can cram oodles of technology in our phones so we can watch the news on it, speak to someone on the other side of the world on it, do our shopping on it. Amazing. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. Creatures who can create because God is the creator. We can do so much. But still, we can't answer and deal with the question, why? It's beyond us. The why of suffering. the need to understand, the need for wisdom and answers. And quite frankly, it's terribly humbling, isn't it? I don't know about you, but actually as you get older, it's harder to admit that you need help. It doesn't seem a very grown-up thing to do. It's much easier when you're a child. Kids, they love to say, "Can you help me?" And humble dependence is a beautiful childlike quality. When you're an adult, it all changes. You start singing in our hearts, "I can do it my way, thanks very much." And we find it hard to admit what we know deep down to be true, that we need help. Especially when we don't understand in the why of suffering. I think there's great peace for us to find in that. That we come to the end of ourselves and we see our suffering and we see the suffering of others and we say, "Lord, I just don't understand why." We can search out and sort out many things. But the times we have to put our hands up and say, "I just don't know. The wisdom is hidden from my eyes on the why of suffering." We say, "Lord, we don't understand," verses 1 to 22. But then we can say, "But you do. But you do." Look at verse 23. God understands the way to it, that is to wisdom, and he knows its place. Now, how come he knows? Well, it's because he's the creator. Of course he knows. He's the author of everything. He's Lord over all. In him we live and breathe and have our being. God is mighty, powerful, awesome. He sees everything. Verse 24, for he looks to the ends of the earth and he sees everything under the heavens. Don't you love taking off in a plane? Maybe you hate it. I love it. The excitement, the exhilaration. You take off and as you look out your little window, if you're close enough, you see all these fields getting smaller and smaller, the patchwork quilt around Gatwick. And you see bits of the world and it's amazing. You can only see a little bit. Depends who's in your way, how big the window is, where you are in the world. But God is so awesome, get this, he looks to the ends of the earth all at once. He sees everything under the heavens. He is mighty, he is big, and seeing is knowing. God is awesome. He understands everything. He made it. So our passage says, look, just think of one part of the created order. Think about the weather, verse 25, 27. We've got lots of weather at the moment, haven't we? We love the weather in Britain. We love to talk about the weather. We love to watch it and check it. Never forget my little brother's wedding. We got obsessed about the weather because he's having the reception in my garden back in Potter's Bar. And I made it all beautiful for the wedding. And we thought, what's the weather going to be like? And we are obsessed, hour by hour, we're checking the weather. We could do nothing about it wonderfully. That day was dry. Every other day was chucking it down. People squelched on the grass. But actually, the writer says, no, look at the weather. This is one part of God's world. Look at God's power over that. Question, verse 25. When he gave to the wind its weight and apportioned out the waters by measure, when he made a decree for the rain and a way for the thunderbolt, then he saw it and declared it. He established it and searched it out. You see, God gave the force, that's the weight, to the wind. He gave force to the wind, the blow. He decided that and how it would work in the world. He sorted out how much water to put on the earth. He made decrees for the way the rain would work, that wonderful cycle you do in school with the clouds and all that. He sorted out how the thunder would come. He is Lord over the weather. You see, of course, if he is Lord over the weather, he knows the way to wisdom and understanding. He knows all things. He's mighty and powerful, the creator, and we are the creatures. And where else can we go but to the Lord who knows, who understands, who has all the answers? You see, in the face of suffering, when there are no easy answers, this passage of Scripture that comes out of Job's suffering says what we need to acknowledge and hear. Lord, we don't know, but you do. We don't know, but you do. So what is the answer that God gives to Job? We hear God speak. What does God say? 28, 28, have a look. And he said to humankind, truly, The fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And depart from evil is understanding. I mean, what sort of answer is that? It's not a direct answer, is it? It's not telling Job why. Why he's suffering such pain and horror. Why his children died. Why all his possessions have been taken away. Why his health is terrible. Why his friends and his wife have abandoned him. There's no explanation of the why for Job. He never knows, and he doesn't know in his life. But there is the how. How to live life when there are no easy answers. God does not give to Job the answer of why me and why not them. No, what God says to Job and to us is fear the Lord. That is wisdom. To depart from evil is understanding. Rhonda, do you remember, right back at the beginning of the book of Job, Job chapter 1, verse 1, Job is described like this. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. He feared God and he turned away from evil. That's what Job was doing right at the start of the book. How he was living when the sun was shining down on him and life was going so well. Well, massive has changed in his life. It's been an absolute disaster and catastrophe in his life. What does God say to Job then? Exactly the same. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. The path of wisdom and understanding in life for Job, for us, is not in having all the answers to the why, but to fear the one who knows. God knows. We don't. Fearing speaks of a right relationship with God, of trusting and depending on God. As the author and sustainer of our lives, he is the all-powerful, all-loving one. And we're called to hold on to him and his promises. And he keeps hold of us. You see, we don't understand. But you do. And to know you is enough. To fear you is enough. To know that you know, Lord, is going to be enough for this life. That is wise living. That is wisdom and understanding for life. My life changes, but Lord, you do not. I might look back one day and see how you used suffering in my life for good. I might never see how you did that. But even then, I can never understand why me, or why my family, or why this church, or why these people. Job 28:28 is a call to Job and to us to keep living the life of faith, come what may. You give and take away. My heart will choose to say, blessed be your name. That call to honor God, love God, trust God, fear God, pour out our hearts to God as Job does, and to keep turning away from what is wrong and holding on to the Lord. It's just a call, isn't it? To the ongoing life of faith. And actually not knowing is the path to bring peace and patient endurance as we hold on to the Lord. There is Sally. She's intrigued by Christianity. She just won't take that next step of giving her life to Christ. So she bargains with God and her friends, and she says, if you can answer all of my questions, then I will believe, then I will trust, but right now, I've so many questions, I'm not going to move. What do we say to Sally? Well, if we're Christians today, don't we say, look, I haven't got all the answers. There's lots of unanswered questions in my life, in the sufferings I face. But through Jesus, I know the one who does. I know the one who knows the answers. I know the Lord God. And he strengthens me and upholds me. And he's promised that one day I will be with him forever. And that is a priceless treasure that God wants you to have, Sally. Although it's Grant, he's a Christian. He's been a Christian for years. And he says to God, Lord, I'll keep being a Christian as long as I have all the answers that I want given by you. As long as I can understand everything. That's a deal he wants to strike with God in his head. What to say to Grant? Grant, humble yourself and find the peace of knowing that we don't know, but God does. And knowing the one who does know is enough for this life. You see, Job did not know why. And that is not the path that we have either. God's answer to his quest for the why, the wisdom he needs in his sufferings to call him to the ongoing life of faith. Now that may seem like a disappointing answer to us. But as I've stopped and thought about it, it does bring a sense of peace and trust and perspective. God is more concerned that we trust and know him than we have all the answers in this life. Of course, he's given us so much in his word. He's given us all we need to know in his words. There'll be many things we don't know this side of eternity. A dear friend of mine suddenly lost his brother. His brother was on honeymoon. He'd just married him. He's a vicar pal of mine. He'd just married his brother. His brother's on honeymoon, and suddenly his brother died on honeymoon. And it was just a terrible shock, an unexpected and inexplicable loss. And I went to see him, and we wept together, and we chatted, and I shared this verse from the Bible with him. It's a precious verse in John's Gospel. It says this, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." Those are words spoken by disciples of Jesus. Jesus was being deserted by many because the cost of following was too great. But the disciples know that to go to Jesus is the place to turn to in life. For he, God made flesh, he is the one who has the words of eternal life. He is the one in whom we can trust. He is wisdom incarnate. As Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1, Jesus is the wisdom of God, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And Jesus made the way for us, through his life and his death and his resurrection, to be in relationship with God. And that means, whatever we face, we know the one who knows all things. Whatever we face, we can say, I know the one who knows all things, and he has the words of eternal life, and that is going to be enough for this life. We know Jesus, the wisdom of God, and that is more than enough for all of our unanswered questions and concerns. Job 28 causes us to say, we don't understand, but you do, and to know you is enough. Shall I pray? As we pray, let me read these words written by Graham Kendrick. For the joys and for the sorrows, the best and worst of times, for this moment, for tomorrow, for all that lies behind, fears that crowd around me, for the failure of my plans, for the dreams of all I hope to be, the truth of what I am, for this I have Jesus. For this I have Jesus. For this I have Jesus. I have Jesus. Father, we thank you that we know you through faith in Christ. And for all we face, we praise that we have Jesus. That is more than enough. Keep us fearing you and trusting you and loving you. And sustain all those in our church family facing heartache and sorrow right now. In Jesus' name. Amen.